This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The gate pick for the second main event in Glendale, Arizona, that decision might cost him the title. When you got one guy ain't going to hit the ground, you got one guy that keeps hitting the ground, and you got to find some speed and you got to find something to get better than the other guy. All these little things matter. It was the first time I ever seen Cooper Rod like nervous around somebody. He rode around Jason, those two main events, like how people ride around him. What's up, guys? You know who it is. It's your boy, James Stewart. And you know where we at. We at the Rewind Show, baby. Round 12 from Glendale, the Triple Crown. I think it's like the third one of the year. But you know what? The boys been off for a week. I've been off for a week. It is Easter Sunday. It's Easter Sunday. Did Tomac find some eggs? Whoever found some eggs, I don't know where that's going. But we here at round 12 from Glendale. So you know what we got to do. Let's get into it, people. So here in Glendale, it's an old Phoenix Stadium. They replaced the old Phoenix where you used to have the baseball, where the Diamondbacks used to play at. Now you play with you go race with the Arizona Cardinals. So it's a football stadium, but it's one of the bigger like football stadiums, meaning that you got Atlanta, the Georgia Dome, and some of these other ones, but this one's a big floor layout. If you notice on the track, like they had a lot of room even on the sides and. Normally, they kind of even use this red zone thing where they go underneath the stands. Like it's almost like a tunnel where the old incident, Kristen Craig and Vince Freeze, where it went down at.
Lacy goes wide and takes him down.
They go in there, but this year they didn't even do that. So it just shows you how big that floor layout is. So normally, I get excited as a fan to watch this track because I've never raced there. But overall, track was pretty basic from what they could have done, but maybe they set it up like that for the Triple Crown since they was going to have more races and not much time. So they kind of kept it as a basic layout. They had the futures there. So I'm sure that probably played in a little bit. But, the riders seemed like they had a good time riding the track. I don't know necessarily if they had a good time racing it. But, we do what we always do. We'll break it down and all that. But Eli liked it. So must have been pretty good. In practice, everybody was pretty close. Everybody was pretty close. I mean, Eli showed up from the first one. Like he looked at pretty confident. And like I said before, sometimes you just show up at places, everything feels good. Like everything feels good. Well, I believe like that stadium, Arizona, it feels good for Eli. On the contrary, you have the KTM team and you have Roger DeCoster saying that we just want Cooper to just get out of here with limiting the damage. And that's kind of what it was. Like his whole mindset was like limiting the damage. And we'll get into that part, but I don't know, people. That number one dude, Eli Tomac, I don't even know what to say about it. Like this is probably, to be honest, this is probably one of the best rides I think I've seen him ride like all year long. Best race. And I'll say that because he had Cooper like on him the whole race. He had whoever on him the next race. He got second one race, but the reason I don't even know who they were like there besides like Cooper, the first one, because he's main championship is because like there was no, like he never once seemed like he was worried about anybody else. Not once. Did you hear his interview after the first race?
There was pressure the whole race. So most importantly, went out there, got the good start, went outside again, did the big sweep move, and that's been working out. So plan on lining up out there again, trying to repeat that. And
like, did you see how calm that dude was? She was like, oh, yeah, like Cooper was there. He had some pressure. And he was just like, yeah, nah. And like, so when I say it's his best race, it just looked like he knew he was going to win. He knew he was going to win. And I almost feel like they felt like he was going to win. It was almost like that first race when Cooper was with him was that he was just like toying with him. Like, I'm just keep you here, whatnots. And then, oh, you're getting a little close. Let me just give a little gas. And on a track that didn't have much separation. And for whatever reason, everybody keeps talking about Cooper slow in the whoops on there. He ain't slow in the whoops on there. In fact, I would say Cooper's probably like top five, definitely top 10 out of all these riders all year long. Like, whoops ain't his problem. They haven't been his problem. Daytona, if they would have been blitzing the whoops, Cooper Webb would have won that race on there. The Indy or Detroit race, like, Cooper has been good through the whoops. So it's not like that was the reason why. He didn't lose any time in there. So on a track that the whoop section was the main factor where you can kind of make up a lot of time, he wasn't losing that time. You're like, where was Eli faster than he was? Because he clearly was faster. But the way he did it was just real, like, just calm, chill, like Coloradoan, like, just chill. I don't know. So I don't know. They got a problem. They got a problem because not only like does what I watched on this race, and Eli can go next weekend, which your boy be there, he can get his ass whooped. But I don't know. That dude looked pretty solid this weekend. And, you know, you got to think that the city and the whole atmosphere played a part of that. But Cooper rode well that first one. Cooper rode well. And I think the whole Anderson incident and then that third main event, just the frustration of what transpired that first one, because he was right there. And if you think back to the last couple weekends, Cooper was right there and he can't like get to him close enough. Like, he can't get to him. And then Eli's just riding. And that has to be so frustrating to where I actually think Cooper made a mistake by going and lining up next to him on the outside. When I saw that, I didn't know what the hell that was on there. And I just think more like with Cooper, when you have these races and you know this guy's good, and maybe necessarily like the Triple Crown format, the speed thing isn't your forte, you try to figure out different ways to be able to beat him. And if you can't like beat him with speed, then you have to figure out a different way. And just like last weekend, he shot Chase, you know, like he knew he wasn't going to shoot Eli. So maybe he said, I can line up next to him. Maybe that's a fragile. And Eli was like, dude, whatever. You just hear like, whatever. And that start right there, Eli was in front of him. Cooper got a bad start. And who knows where the end of this series is going to be. But that gate pick and that choice on that gate could cost him the title. Like, it could be the gate pick for the second main event in Glendale, Arizona. That decision might cost him the title on there. And again, I feel like with Cooper, the whole narrative this weekend, the whole narrative on like the whoops, the whole narrative that he's not fast on there and he's, you know, he has no chance and all that. Like, I almost feel like that kind of led into like that choice. I haven't spoken to Cooper, and this is just me just saying this. So I don't know what his decision was to go there or not. Maybe it was the rut. I don't know. Maybe they told him to go there. I don't know. But if it had to be something with like, I got to get next to him to fragile him or get in his head, then like I said before, just the way Eli is, like, he's just not that type of guy. Like, he's the type of guy that's like he ain't going to crash trying to ride with you. He'd rather just get eighth place. I don't know. Whereas some guys, they'll hit the ground like on there. They don't want to get beat by you so bad. Like, they'll crash. Eli ain't that type. So it's like that mindset and doing those things to him, like, it won't work because the way he is, he ain't doing that. Daddy ain't hitting the ground anymore. Daddy ain't, the diaper factory is going to stay. It's going to stay open. It's going to stay open. We might not sell as many, but it's going to stay open where, you know what? You might sell 100,000 and then be out of business. That ain't Eli Tomac. So, it was just weird to see him do that and then go back on the inside the next race. But, it was just, it was a costly gate pick. It was a costly decision. So Eli went out there because he said he opens up that gate. He likes being on the outside. Now, I almost feel like he does that to get away from everybody else. Like, it's just one, like, he ain't worried about getting cut off. You know, like, he's on the outside. Okay, when you think about a long start, usually the issues are in the outside. Like, everybody's going down there so fast, they hit and they push out. So if you're on the outside, and unless you get a hole shot, like, then you can be on that necessarily getting pushed out. So in theory, you would think like going out there would be putting you in more danger, but for whatever reason, he feels comfortable. So it'd be interesting to know like truly why he goes out there, and it might just be, it opens up the corner. I don't know. Or he likes being away from everybody else, but I know why he did it. I don't know why Cooper did it. So the second main, Chase got the whole shot. He was out front and he was leading it, and he actually stalled it at one point. Eli got around him real quick, and then he just passed him back. And just like the Houston race, I thought this track was set up well for Chase. Like, it had a lot of speed to it, flowed. Like, it was kind of like Houston. The only negative might be is that it's drier than Houston, so you have to worry about a front end or whatever, losing it that way. But it wasn't going to be like Indy or like Daytona or one of those tracks that, like, look, ruts can come up and get you. Just the track breaking down so much, like, you got to be worried about that, like Seattle was. I thought it was a pretty just basic track, and where Chase is really good at is through rhythm sections and keeping his momentum up and using his legs and doing stuff. So this track was a fast, real open, carry momentum. So it was right up his alley. So I expected Chase to do exactly what he did, but I will say that, you know, the narrative on his side and what everybody's saying is that he hits the ground a lot, you know? And so the question is kind of, does he feel like he's, you know, he's trying to break a narrative or whatever? Well, it's kind of not a narrative when it's kind of true, you know, like in his mind, like he does hit the ground on there. So not saying anything that doesn't happen. And I think the hardest part for Chase is not maybe necessarily being in a title hunt anymore. And being going from the guy that was like right there and the way he had the outdoor season and coming in with all the hopes. And then it just had that 7-point incident that happened a few races ago, and then Seattle, and then all the races he's given away. Now he's over almost a race back. I think that's the hardest part for Chase at this point. So you're almost like racing out there, and you got a sense, and I've been there before, where you know you're a title contender, you're just not a title contender anymore to the guys that you're racing. So when you're racing them, they're not racing you as in a fact that I gotta beat you, and you kind of know that. Don't ask me how you know that. You just know it on there. So I feel like watching Chase, he was kind of in that sense, like he knew, like he was just either gonna win or just be there. They wasn't gonna race him like that. Cause he didn't, like, they ain't trying to beat him on there. Like, he's kind of beating himself. So, yeah, he got the whole shot, he stalled it, and he won. Like, that was kind of, thought that's what he was going to do. I actually thought he was going to win the whole thing. Like, you know, before the race, I thought Eli was going to be very good. You know, as much as people are saying with Cooper, I just thought like him having a red plate would just make him good. Which he was first race. And even the second race, he was fine. He wrote better than his results, but I actually thought Triple Crown, way to track is, like, it wouldn't be surprised Chase went 1-1-1, like, on there. But when he's riding on there, the reason I bring up the championship and that mindset and being out of it, that's kind of what I saw a little bit. Like, and I think that's why he was there, but he really didn't make any, I don't know, noise this weekend. Like, it just wasn't, you know, like, there wasn't no sense of urgency. Like, he had to do something and all that. Like, he was just there, you know? So I think the emphasis was on just how Eli kind of dictated everybody, and he just rode calmly, which made everybody else was. So yeah, it wasn't really surprised with him. I just think we'll see how this goes. Like, if he can get a win and he can start trying to win some races, I think that's his goal at this point, is to win races and stay off the ground. But until he does that a few times, like, I don't even consider the Triple Crown and him winning that second race anything other than him winning a heat race. And I think in his mind, he knows what he has to do. And until he does that and and move forward. Maybe he can get a few this year, which will help him for next year. But until he does that, like, you know, it's really he's just there at this point. So kind of weird situation to be in, but wasn't really surprised at all what he did. As boring as it was, like, it was, you were always waiting for something like to happen, and exciting. And then you get caught. Right now you're in that transition zone where people are like, I'm over it. Their hopes goes outdoors. Maybe I can win me an outdoor title. And until they get five races in that, they're in the same damn position they are right now, which is you ain't got no chance. Which I guess the whole super motocross format playoff situation, at least that helps you keep you going. But you got those riders that are kind of there. So they're fighting, but like they don't want to get hurt because they're trying to win an outdoor title. And then you got the real title, which is, you know, Eli, Big Three or Big Two at this point, and they're racing for this title. So you get this sense of like nobody's going to do anything. The only people that are going to take somebody out is the two people who are actually fighting for the title. The other guys, like, look, if you touch them, then maybe they'll mess with you. Otherwise, they're not going to really try to mess with you because they're focused on something else and you're focused on this. And nobody wants to get anybody's way. So that's why I think the race was kind of just, it is what it is. You get the outliers where you got like Ken Roczen, like he trying, German Chocolate, he be trying on there. Track set up good for him too. Hard pack, Suzuki is usually pretty good on hard pack. You sit out there and you just do donuts out there. And you got Justin Barcia, which he talks fast, he rides fast.
I was just hammering down the track. We're super gnarly. I was talking to Eli. It's like, this gave me Vegas vibes. It's so hard pack. But can't thank the whole Trilogy Designs, Red Bull, Gas Gas Factory Racing Team, Method Wheels, the feed, just everyone, mom, dad, my wife, Amber. It's been a good season so far. We've been building, searching for that win. But we'll keep taking these podiums. Not too bad at all.
And he always going for a win. So, like, besides them two, everybody else, like, they either thinking about something different or, you know, you have a couple outliers like them. So
here a pass attempt. Oh, hit him. I don't think that was intentional. Anderson come down a bit. But Anderson don't like it. He don't like it. He gets him back.
All right, people. So there wasn't a lot of stuff going on, but there were some little things that was going on. For instance, with Cooper lining up next to Eli in the start, you know, a small thing right there, questionable, but then you're like, you know, it doesn't pay off, right? Like pay off. And then long term, it could be a big problem. If he doesn't win the title, let's say he loses by 6 points, 7 points, whatever. Right. And then you have him and Jason and getting into it. And was he trying to pass him like right there? Or was he trying to like go in and, El Hombre, shoot him, whatnot. I don't think actually Cooper went in with the intentions of like what ended up happening. I think Cooper really runs like tight. And he was actually pretty good in that corner all day long. Like he was one of the fastest in that and he was staying lower than everybody. But I think what was happening the first race, him being there with Eli and not being able to catch him, just kind of everybody was the same speed. I think he was starting to get frustrated that they were like right there and nobody was really pulling away. So he felt like maybe if he can get around Jason, he can like go up. Cause Jason was kind of holding him up a little bit. And it was kind of weird. Like normally when you have a guy holding you up, you lose pace with the other guys. Or if you're like faster, then you can have a chance. You'll be able to pass him at some point because you're that much faster. It was like Cooper was faster, but he wasn't fast enough to be able to like pass him. And so, but Jason was holding him up, but he wasn't holding him enough to where he was losing time to everybody else. He was just holding him up to where Cooper felt like maybe if he can get around him, then that could be another person that he might be able to get around because he was faster, but he wasn't really fast enough, if that kind of makes sense. So I think he goes in there and probably just a little frustration. You know, he decides to make that pass right there. Now with that, I think where it went wrong for Cooper is when he goes on that on-off tabletop. If you look at him, he actually, in that transition, he does this weird, like, almost like the bike bottoms out and it springs up on him. And then so he overjumps that three going into the corner. And all that was caused because the way he actually ended up in that transition, like the bike bottomed and it unloaded on him way harder than he expected. And you can see he kind of got like a weird, like he knew he was going to overjump it. So he has to hit the rear brake to bring the front end down. So he overjumps that part and he lands. And then so he's landing his mark by couple feet, pushing them into that corner. Now, Jason, yeah, you were cutting down on there, and everybody was, like, it wasn't going up in the tall part of that burn, but I think he thought Jason was going to be a little bit higher. And when Jason senses Cooper over jumping this thing, he knows, look, I can't leave this door under. He just kind of cuts down a little bit and he runs into him. It was a racing incident. It looked way worse than what it was. And I'm sure from Jason's standpoint, he probably knows, like, maybe Cooper was faster than him and he probably just senses Cooper. So he just shot Chase and, you know, he's trying to move up the front. He probably feels like he's like trying to push him out the way. And I always said, like, when you're a championship contender, you'll race those guys. You know, when you're expecting to come in and win a title like Jason was, you'll race those guys and you're always going to be there. But when you're at that position, like, you won't get in their way. Like, you won't try to mess them up. You know, you'll race them, but you'll kind of move out the way if they have to be, like, especially with Cooper and Eli, because you've been there before. Like, you would want those guys to do the same thing. And so I don't think Jason would ever mess with Cooper until Cooper did what he did. So when you're a championship contender, like Jason in the past and won these titles, you also understand that, like, you're not going to be pushed over. And I think that's why Cooper was like, damn, like, the guy's won this title. Like, he ain't going to mess with me, but he also ain't going to, like, just roll over. And when you push that button on the elevator and that door opens, you got to get on the elevator and ride whatever floor is going to go. And that's what happened with Jason. When Cooper hit him, like, he was like, all right, bro, all right, I haven't shot nobody in years. You know, look, you ain't going to push me over. I'll stay out your way, but you ain't going to push me over. So Cooper came in there. And to be honest with you, that's cost Cooper everything. Like, it seemed like that. Him starting on the outside was the first kind of off, like, weird move. Then that one, I wouldn't even say it was a mistake, because a mistake would be something that, like, you went in there and intentionally, like, a mistake I would say would be the going wide Eli on the gate. Like, if you was going out there for whatever reason besides the rut was bad, all the other ruts sucked, and you, that was the only one that was good. Other than that, then that was a mistake. This one was like, look, it's a racing incident, but it ends up being a mistake because of what Jason thought. And, like, him and Barsha, a couple of those guys are the wrong ones to be doing that. Jason probably frustrated. He's still having one race. And so you ain't going to be doing that to him. And so that cost you, because you knew, like, he was going to get you back at some point. You saw that when you did actually pass him, you almost ran off the berm because you knew he was going to come back in. And so I feel like that part, that pass right there, that attempt right there, cost your other laps of that race and cost the way you were able to race, because you passed the other guys and then you got to Jason and you kind of like stuck. You got stuck behind him. And Josh Grant used to be that way for me. Josh Grant, we cool now, but he used to be that same person that for me. Like, I could be coming up through the pack and I saw Josh. I was like, damn. Like, damn, like, I was worried about how I'm going to pass him, making sure if I pass him, I either got him enough room or I could pull away. Because if I pass him clean, I felt like he was going to come in anyway. It just expected. And that's how it was for Cooper. So when he was racing, he would pass Ken or all those other guys. He got the El Hombre, and it just, he was so focused on where he was going to pass him, how he was going to pass him, that he didn't even pass him. He couldn't even ride. So, you know, that was all kind of set up for that incident. It was the first time I ever seen Cooper ride, like, nervous around somebody. He rode around Jason, those two main events, like how people ride around him on there. Like, his presence affected the way he was riding the motorcycle. And, you know, I've had that happen. Like I said, Josh Grant, we good now. But no matter how good I was, when I came up to him, like, if I was coming up through the pack, damn! And that's what Cooper was. And so I think at the end of that third moto, that's what you saw. Damn! He was over it. He was over it. Just, it sucked. I mean, he almost let German Chocolate get up. But, you know, he was like, damn, I can't let that happen. So either way, it all started from lining up next to Daddy Factory, the tire factory or diaper factory, whatever the hell you want to call it. It started there. One thing I did notice with Cooper's bike this weekend, and I noticed it a few times, you know, throughout the year, but especially this weekend, I think because there was not really much separating him. And the reason I say why, when people talk about how he's struggling to whoops.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And I say he's not on there. It's the way his bike's set up and the almost like the harder he rides it in this, the more he tacks those whoops and they get bigger, the actually better his bike works through there. The bigger the whoops, the better they work. And I think with Cooper, it was like, I forgot what race it was. It was Oakland. There was like at one point in that race where he was like riding the motorcycle like he used to struggle in the whoops. Like he was trying to jump through there. And it looked bad. It looked bad. And then all of a sudden he started attacking the whoops on there. He just like, forget it, sent it. And then his bike looked different. And he looked different. And so I feel like it was since that race, he's been like really good through the whoops because the whole narrative in the past, it used to be he couldn't do that. Well, his bike's set up to race it right now. So for here in the rhythm section, after you go down to start, if you watch his bike, like when he goes on those on offs and in those transitions, just what ends up happening with Jason, like he lands and it's like the front end rebounds so much. And it's like he has a hard time like being able to go through things on there, like basically being able to like stay low. Cause sometimes you get a front end that's like the bike rebounds too much. You can just land and stuff and you have to do so much work to be able to like scrub it off because not only are you having the forks bottom out and they're like coming back up, but you have this fast rebound. And so the thing's coming up way faster, which makes you have a real spring, like all the jumps, you just jump high. You just jump high compared to if you have a slow rebound, then the thing can, you know, bulldoze through it. But if you had like the double D effect like Eli, then, you know, thing works pretty good on there in certain situations. But I noticed with Cooper's bike throughout this year, and especially this weekend, when he has those flat on offs and it's like he gets on, jumps off over a single, and he has those big backward ski things. On those transitions going from a small bump to a big one, like his bike rebounds so quick. So if you watch him, I think it's about 6:45 around that in the third race when he's behind Jason, like he jumps on top of the tabletop. He goes on off. Watch him in that transition when he goes at three, like his bike rebounds like from it. Front end kind of pops up and he has to do this weird, like, you know, either hit the rear brakes and get it down. And then he does it again on that next one. And it just seems like he's trying to be able to stay low, but the bike and the rebounds forcing him back up to where he's just kind of jumping high to almost where it's not doing what he's hoping it would do, which instantly, like when he goes in to pass Jason, like his intention was to be able to get there quicker than he did. So I think, you know, once you kind of commit that I'm going on the inside, you're committed going in there. But when the bike rebounds and you end up higher, lagging in the air for whatever reason, then it's like you end up running into guy like he did in Jason. So thinking about it now, I think him running into Jason was a part of that rebound thing I was talking about, like him getting shot up in the air and not getting there as quick as he thought he would, but he was already committing. He was going there. So it made it look a lot worse than what it was. When you go like, was he trying to take him out? No, I don't think he was trying to take him out. I just think he thought he was going to get there quicker and he did. And his frustration, but it was like a no, no, and no. It was a bad scenario. Everything possibly could go wrong went wrong in that instant, and it cost them the next two races. So another guy who's riding good this weekend and has been all year long, and kind of I picked the race to win a race, is Justin. And I mean, he's been riding like he has all year. You know, and for instance, like this was another race where he was right there, like with Eli and those guys, but he couldn't quite like get around them. But he has like the speed. And as I say, like when you watch him, it's like, all right, if he got a better start, like he would be able to like win the race. Cause if he rides like he does at the end of the race, like he'll just come flying past those guys. Well, this weekend he was kind of like right there and he was like faster, but he like couldn't quite get to him on there. And I think Justin's riding good. Like his whole bike setup looks good. And when you look at his bike, and since they're both somewhat KTMs, they both have WP suspension. And what I was talking about with Cooper's bike, you know, in that same on off, and how Cooper's bike, when he lands in there, it springs back to front and shoots back up at him. If you watch Justin, like he lands in there and his bike pushes through, like his, you know, it doesn't pop back up on him. And I don't know where I heard it at, but I felt somebody told me that it was like last year's KTM or one of those, like I know the Huskies, or they're almost like a year behind or whatnot, but that don't look like last year's KTM and it don't look like this year's KTM. Like those bikes look differently. So I think Justin's riding good because Justin's riding good. His bike looks good. His bike has, out of all the bikes, have been the most consistently out of all the tracks. Kind of like what Eli's was last year, where like no matter which track he went, like his bike kind of looks the same. Justin's bike looks like that this year, and that's why I think he's riding the same and he's been consistently. And you know, I still think he might be able to get one, but for sure he's definitely comfortable and he looks happy and he just looks like he should just be able to win on there. Maybe he does that. So yeah, it's just interesting to watch his bike and Cooper's bike, and not saying that Cooper has a problem or we in the same situation they were last year. We're not there. Just pointing out the fact that sometimes like it just looks like, you know, it catches them out a little bit more and it puts them in those Jason Anderson situations. And where Justin's bike looks a little bit different, but you know, Cooper had a red plate till last weekend. Cooper is beating Justin in the points and Cooper is riding better than he has last year and maybe ever. So can't be that bad. But when you ride against Toe Smack and you got Chase and you got the German Chocolate, and even though you got El Hombre and you got AP just going dominant for a while on there until he decided to do a somersault. And then you got Colt Nichols was up there. Why did I say him? Colt 45 was back. You got, you know, number 9 on there. Jeff Matat. No, that's not Jeff Matat. That was my guy back on number 9. You got Adam Cincerella. You got all these guys coming up. These bikes are so damn good. All these little things matter, people. All these little things matter. And when you ride against, again, these guys, when you got one guy ain't gonna hit the ground, you got one guy that keeps hitting the ground, and you got to find some speed and you got to find something to get better than the other guy, all these little things matter on there. And so it could be a 10th here and there, a spring fork here and there. But all I know is this. That interview, people, that interview said something. It said something to me. Cooper lining up next to him said something to me. It was like a gnat. It was like a gnat. And the Yamaha dude said it. His team manager, he says, like, I don't know. Like, he gets eighth, people. We don't know. But what we do know, it don't look like it bothers him. Yeah, we wish those, you know, it was like a bad night would be like a third place instead of an eighth place. We don't know why it happens. It just happens. But we ain't worried because we ain't worried because he ain't worried on there. And he ain't worried just like he hasn't been. And like I said before, it seems like when he has to do stuff, that's almost like the worst place to put him at. Because he's like, all right, damn, I stop playing with y'all, whatever. And then he comes out there and he just, nothing changes. Nothing changes. He ain't riding no faster than he was when he got eighth place on there. Like, it ain't like they fixed something. He's the same dude. And why it's that way, I don't know. I don't know. But what I do know, that dude was riding good. What I do know, the Yamaha don't look that weird with it red plate on there. And like, damn, dude, he got these guys up there frustrated. Like, he's like, yeah, come on. just stay right there. And when you get a little too close, he's going to pass you again. He's going to just hit the gas a little harder. And he's up in Arizona, people. Why did I mention Arizona? Because he won this thing like 4 times. He won Daytona like 18,000 times. And yes, thank you, Eli. You went ahead and demolished me. I hope they better not ask me about 50 and all this. You already came, done that. You already done that. You got 50. Congratulations. You got 51. Congratulations. And now you got another neck burn. Hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan. Neck's on fire.
He almost had 51 of them things. Almost. What? No, Jay. He did have 51. He just haven't had 51 neck burns of this neck burn. And I don't know. Did the Triple Crown, did they give him neck burns? Did they actually light the things that many times?
Just the third race.
Okay, the third race. I heard people had carbon monoxide, blood flying. Their eyes were burning. They had somersaults. They had flu. They had the Roxen flu. I don't know. They had everything up in there. But what I do know, homeboy was up there doing his thing, and he did it calmly, and he knew he was going to win from the gate drop. Sometimes you just know something's going to happen. Eli knew it was going to happen. He was getting 51 because JS told him to do it before he shows up at the next race. And when I show up at the next race, which would be the next race, round 13 up in Atlanta, not Nashville, Cole, which you have me booking flights for Nashville. I don't know why you said that. It's going to be going for 52. So better not ask me about 50. It's done with. It's done. But you know what time it is, people. My favorite. Congratulations, Eli. Jet, congratulations on there. You won the Triple Crown. You get 3 sets of donuts on there. RJ, I thought you had them, bro. You look good on there. But damn, you was like, nah, the kitchen was in there. So throwing pots and pans and all that. And then you had the futures up there looking futuristic on there. Then I thought one guy was racing that DeChambeau, what? No, that's not him.
Ryder D.
DeChambeau, he's like the golfer on there. I thought it was like the back from the past. I thought he was round professional on there. But now you can drop back, like it's like the Mike Brown rule. You can go up, come back down. You can go back up, come back down. You can go pro and then come back and ride pro. So I thought I was confused on there. But you know what time it is, people. My favorite time, your favorite time, Stews and Stews. We'll be right back. And we got a new sponsor presenting the Stews and Stews. We'll be right back.
They say an object in motion tends to stay in motion. We test that idea on a daily basis. Motion and experimentation. Motors and manpower. We continue to evolve and thrive. So whether you climb or cross over, find your own line or pin it wide open. As long as you're moving in a way that gives you what you need, we'll be here for you.
I want to introduce my new partnership, my first sponsor with Oakley. Been a long sponsor of mine. They decided to give us a new Triple Crown limited edition air brake on there. Well, they didn't give it to us. They're giving it to you. So if you want to win these pretty little things, do we really have to get this away, Cole? Because I don't really want to give it away. Make sure you tag 3 friends in the comments below. Like and subscribe, of course, to Bubba's World and Oakley to have your chance to win these bad boys. We're picking a winner on Friday, so make sure you introduce your mama, your daddy, girlfriend, side girlfriend, whoever you got to do. Tag them all, people, to get these because they limited editions, and I don't got one. Make sure you check it out. Thanks, Eli. Oh, new air brake Triple Crown edition. Damn, these things look good. Speaking of that, Oakley is presenting sponsor of the Stews and Stews. And it's fitting that Eli just kind of threw me his goggle. I think he wanted a stew on there. So you know where we're going to start. My favorite time, your favorite time. Definitely Oakley's air brakes. You know what? We were supposed to maybe give these away at some point, but you ain't getting these. This is number 51, people. I'm going to keep this one. I can say I got 51. All right, people. You know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time. Stew and Stew. Again, thanks, Eli. We're going to go with the first one. And it's going to be boring, folks. It's going to be boring. It's going to be like that Triple Crown. It's going to be boring. You're going to go 1, 2, What? Wait, what is 1-2-1? No, did he win the third one? Who won the third one? He won the third one. I knew he won the third one. So I don't even know why I asked, because he won the third one. It's so boring that it was like won the third one. It was a 51 victory. And give a shout out to Phil. They lit extra candles on there because we've been talking about neck burn. I'm like, hey, you got to get neck burn every time you win. Like, Chase won a neck burn. And although he got the Triple Crown, the Oakley Triple Crown Championship, which was probably was a cool ass trophy, by the way. But it was kind of like awkward at the same time. You're like, yeah. Like, it was funny. If you notice, people, Eli was like, when they were talking about, because sometimes when they start talking, you know, like the winner and the loser on there. And so they were going in there, they were like, ah, blah, blah. And Eli was about to walk in there like, oh, you talking about, like, you pumping them up like somebody won something. And Eli was about to walk in there and they handed Chase. And Eli was like, oh, all right, damn. Like, that's how it was. It was almost confusing. That's what it was. But Chase won the Triple Crown Championship. He got the championship this year, but Eli won what he won. And he won the Stew, the Oakley Stew, the stupendous 51 times Stew of the Week. Sexy. Man, why do they do these cool looking things when I ride? I'm gonna have to talk to Patch. I feel like I got shout out. Like, can't believe he would throw these things away. They are pretty sick. They kind of look like the JS. But anyways, people, sorry. So I'm about to pump these up. Would you like to see me riding in those things? Yeah, maybe. Eli Tomac, you a stew. You a stew on the Sunday Easter stew. That kind of sounds like we should be eating stew. You the only stew of the week. I know. Anyways, that was it. I'm only giving him the stew. Yeah, you were cool. And look, flowers. Why did I hold those things up? I don't know. It's confusing. I don't know. But Eli, you just stew. All right, people. My next list. Stewed. Pissed off. You know what? We keep doing the same thing all the time. And then I change it up like we're going to go to confusing route. And it's just always confusing when we get to this segment. So yeah, this whole segment, I call Eli's goggles, even though he threw it. And it's like 2 days later or late, he threw it from Arizona and it landed here in Florida. And they so pretty. And he was out front because he didn't get roosted. So they clean. It's confusing. So that's where we're going to go. And why is it going to be confusing? It's because I'm going to have to throw Chase Sexton on here. I'm going to throw him on here. Why? Because I just want to be consistent, people. I want to be consistent. Nah, he didn't hit the ground. He stalled it. He didn't hit the ground this weekend. Why is he on that list, JS? Why did he? Is the tips different? Nah. He looked good this weekend. He looked like it wasn't surprising that he did what he did. Why is he on this list, Jay? Like, are you confused? No, I'm not. It was confusing because if you saw that podium interview I was just talking about when he got that championship trophy, he was like, wait, how many titles are they giving out on there? Like, what? Triple crown? No triple crown? Whole big playoff triple crown? Like, 51? Wait, that's what it was confusing. Eli was confused. They were confused. They wanted to give it to the lady to present it, and she was confused. She didn't even talk on there. So I was like, damn, what's going on? Did I win a title? So, Chase Sexton, I know, it's funny. You did good, kid. You got you a victory, and you stalled it, and you still got you a victory, and you didn't crash. So, it was a win on there. My next one, Cooper Webb. You know why I'm throwing him on this list. I'm going to hit him up, Cooper. Why? Like, what was that about? On there, what was that about? No, I'm not talking about, like, you lining up next to Eli. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about you running into Jason. Like, I'm not talking about that. Like, the third race. What the hell? Like, what the hell? What happened? Like, what up? I don't know. Like, you know, damn, sometimes we get frustrated. But what was that? It was confusing on there. It's confusing because you're Cooper Webb. You're two-time champ on there. Like, you're two-time champ. Look, so what? You lined up next to him. It ain't going to work. On there, the dude don't care. He don't care if he retired tomorrow. He don't care. He ain't gonna work. He go bang, bang, bang. He gonna be like, huh, I'm dead. Duh. It's like the kid you pick on in school. He just like, yeah, I am ugly. Yeah, I am fat. You're like, damn. It pisses him off. So, yeah, whatever. But like that performance, like what was that on there? Take a picture out. I don't know. You do it. Commit, not commit. Confuse. I should be stewed. I know you stewed. But I expect better, and I'm going to get better this weekend. We want it. All us fans want it. We got to get that dude to run on there. The web ain't done. So, yeah, you on this list. Why? I don't know. Because I'm pissed. I'm confused. You confused. Eli was confused. Like, damn, like, what happened to him? I don't know. All right, people, that was it for round 12 and Arizona, where you have Mr. 51. Nah, not Justin Barsham. You're riding good. Mr. Eli Tomei, he won 51 of these things. Dominant, dominant. Jet Lawrence, congratulations. You get your neck burn, all that. I'll see you guys next week from an ATL. Will you hear my voice up there? You know, I'll be up there, 7-point gap, just like my shirt. It's 7 points, people. The web. Get off the confused list on there. I expect better. Confusing results. Until then, I'll see you when you see you. Wait. I'll see you when you... Until then, I'm just taking my ugly goggles and ride out. Peace.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.